and Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. And we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. So I think we all kind of knew Aaron Rodgers is kind of off his rocker. He's a little wacky. Just some weird things.
Just a little bit.
Just a little odd. Just a little off. I won't yuck someone's yum, but an ayahuasca retreat and then the... We all know. We are very familiar with the antics of Aaron Rodgers. And he strikes again. And just when I think he can't bug me any more than he already does. And let me say this. If the Titans get him, I'll be willing to look past all the weird antics. I will embrace the weird antics. But just when I think he can't bug me anymore, I was watching the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and he was on the Pat McAfee show, and I thought that he was going to be in his darkness retreat, as was reported by Ian Rappaport, that he was going to go on his darkness retreat the day after the Super Bowl. He would be in there for 4 days, and that he would emerge with his decision of what he wanted to do in the 2023 season, retire, come back, stay in Green Bay, where was going his next stop going to be. I thought that Aaron Rodgers was going to emerge from this darkness retreat with, you know, complete clarity of what he wanted to do with his career. But no, he was not on his darkness retreat on Tuesday. He was on the Pat McAfee show, and this is what he had to say with a very heated message.
Listen, I'm not in my darkness retreat yet.
What?
Oh, and yesterday.
What?
Nope. This thing has been planned for about 4 months, and it was always the same date, always the end of this week.
Oh.
So anybody with knowledge to the opposite of that, it's fake news.
Whoa.
So
whoa.
Let me just reiterate one more time.
Suck it, Rap.
There's an inner circle, right? And in my inner circle, nobody talks to Ian Rappaport, to Adam Schefter, or to any of those people. Okay? So if you're one of those people who's talking to those people, it's a great reminder for you. You're not in the inner circle.
Oh!
Damn.
That was hanging on somebody there. Yeah.
And if anybody else is out there saying stuff, or if they're just making it up, which is also, those are both likely, just stop with the fake news.
Okay.
So I speak for myself.
Yep.
And I will continue to do that. I'm not upset about it. Like, it's the classic media, you know, trying to be first, not trying to be right. And the problem is there's a slippery slope. So let me just remind everybody out there listening. When somebody says something, whether it's Ian Rappaport, or Adam Schefter, myself, anybody, question it. If it's legitimate, it can stand up to questioning. So question things and then think about them and contemplate them in your own time and try and figure out what seems most likely to be true based on your own intuition and feel and conglomeration of fact. But no one in my inner circle talks to those people. I don't talk to those people. I don't have their numbers. I've never met them. And listen, I'm doing a darkness retreat later this week. I'm excited about it. I didn't realize how much it would take off.
Okay, so a lot to unpack there. But one thing that made me giggle was Aaron Rodgers saying, question everything, use your own rationale. Well, you know what, Aaron Rodgers? It's not very rational to go on a darkness retreat, and I'm certainly not going to question the timing of your retreat if I'm going to question anything. So that's what I thought was funny, is he's all upset about the timing of his retreat being announced. I'm not questioning that. I'm questioning your sanity. That's what I'm questioning.
Okay, and we all know it is a tangle web that he weaves, right?
Yes.
He is a complicated bird. We got that. I will say this, though. When I heard him talking about Rappaport and Schefter, that sounds very familiar with what we have talked about on some recent reports by those two guys. And I see his point. I don't talk to he says, I don't talk to those guys. My inner circle does not talk to those guys. So when they give a report, take it for what it's worth. It is speculation. It is not a real report. I see him on that. Like, I will. It's pretty crazy agreeing with Aaron Rodgers because he's wacky. But I think he's I think he has a point there, and that's the point I've been making. We got to separate when it is a speculative, quote unquote, report. To me, Ian Rappaport saying, well, there could be a lot of teams. Remember the word could be. Could be a lot of teams that are interested in Aaron Rodgers. It could be the Titans. It could be the Jets. That is speculative. That is not a real report if there's details to it. So I see where he's coming from on that. Mm-hmm. Now, about the hut or wherever he's going, I don't know anything about that. Mm-hmm. But I do agree with him on, and I won't say fake news because, like we said, this is the business we're in. There's a lot of dead time to fill on airwaves, right? Nothing is happening in the league. There's no games now that the Super Bowl is over. It's all going to be speculation. But when I'm listening to somebody talk about the situation that won't be resolved for weeks, mm-hmm. maybe months for Aaron Rodgers. Remember, there's a big difference on whether he's traded before June 1st or not, right? The numbers are different. So this is going to take a long time to sort out. And in the meantime, Ian Rappaport's probably going to have 12 reports on Aaron Rodgers, probably more, depending on how many times he goes on NFL Network. But you have to take it with a grain of salt. So I see his point on that.
Yeah, I mean, everything from you know, when the season was done till up until today, it's all speculative. We're all just speculating. And, you know, speculation is not necessarily fake news. It's just, you know, you're looking at the landscape of things and you're thinking like, well, there has been hints of him possibly going somewhere, going back to last season. Is he going to sign back with Green Bay Packers or is he going to go somewhere else? So when you look at the landscape, it's like, okay, there's going to be a hint of speculation on where he may go, where he may not go. And these guys, you know, whether it's Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter or whoever else, they're just basically, you know, reading, you know, sort of the room and trying to figure out because, you know, and talk to some people that think that maybe we know the direction that Aaron Rodgers is going to go in. So you talk to these people and you gather your information. And you say, well, you know, sources are saying, you know, or we speculate that this will happen, but it's never a definitive thing with these guys. It's always either their opinion or speculations. In Aaron Rodgers' situation, not in all situations, in Aaron Rodgers' situation. So I'm cool with what Aaron Rodgers said. Listen, my camp is small, and I like that. Like, listen, my camp is small, and we don't talk to those people, okay? And we will let you know when I decide to do whatever it is I'm going to do. I'm not going to tell this person or that person. It's going to come from me, you know. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. So until we hear from Aaron Rodgers, everything else is just we're speculating or, you know, it's we assume this is what's going to happen. And you know what? We assume you know what happens. But then go, you know, his retreat. I'm from, you know, because there are a lot of things that have happened in this world with mental health. And, dude, if you got to go on a retreat and sit in the room for four days in darkness, then do it.
Yeah.
If that's you, do it. I'm not going to make fun of you. I probably wouldn't do it. You know, I wouldn't because I know my sanity would be like, oh, I need to get out of here after like a day. But if you can do it,
if it helps
helping you with your sanity and it's helping you move forward mentally, then, man, if you got to stand there 8 days, do you. As long as you come out as a better person, that's all I got to say. I wouldn't do it because I know more than likely I couldn't last 4 days, you know? So
I will never yuck anyone's yum. Mm-hmm. If that's what you need to be mm-hmm. to be a better person, if that's what you need to do, fine, go for it. Mm-hmm. Am I going to make fun of you for it? Yeah, probably. Yeah. But I mean, it's all in good fun. Uh-huh. But my thing with Aaron Rodgers is he's complaining about, you know, false reports, fake news. Well, Aaron Rodgers is giving this information to somebody who is giving the information to Ian Rappaport.
No, they're not. No, they're not. Not necessarily. It could be all teams. Like, it could be anybody doing that. Or it could be Ian Rappaport just trying to put the puzzle together in his own mind. So I'm challenging on that. It's not. You could be right. Maybe there is a leak in the Aaron Rodgers inner circle. Maybe.
That's like, have you ever seen the movie Divergent?
But he may not be wrong. Oh, yeah.
So that's the
Leonardo DiCaprio's
character purposely feeds false information to somebody in his quote-unquote inner circle. Mm-hmm. And if that information gets leaked, then he knows exactly who it was who gave the information, and that person gets cut off. The way that Aaron Rodgers is talking about that leads me to believe, and I don't know that for certain, but my interpretation of that is he was feeding somebody information to find who the mole was. Mm. And now he knows who it is. Now he's saying, hey, you're not in my inner circle.
But Ian Rappaport didn't say, I have a source within Aaron Rodgers' camp. Like, that would be reporting. That would be something that he could cite in a report. He doesn't even have to do that. He just goes and spouts off whatever he wants to spout off, just like we do.
Yeah.
But he said Aaron Rodgers is going on a darkness retreat from Monday through Thursday. And Aaron Rodgers was all hot and bothered about the timing when he was really going on the retreat from Thursday till whenever it was.
Okay. Minor detail.
Exactly. But that's
but
why
that's
I
different
think
than saying, here are the teams that are interested in him. Here are the teams that Aaron Rodgers is interested in. Like, we can put together a list, but that doesn't mean that we have sources within his inner circle. So what he's saying could be true. That all of that is speculative from other sources. It could be just from the brain of Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter, or it could be from other teams that saying, yeah, we'd be interested in. Like, I do not doubt that the Jets are letting everybody know we're all in. We want Aaron Rodgers if he's available. We want to be in these sweepstakes. Same thing with the Raiders. That doesn't take much. But that doesn't mean that Aaron Rodgers has a leak saying, yeah, Aaron wants to play for the Raiders. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a different, those are two different things.
Totally. And that's why the timing of the retreat, it is so, the detail is so minute, it doesn't really matter. The timeline of when Aaron Rodgers makes up his decision, yeah, maybe that's now changed since he will, you know, emerge a new man. Who knows? But that's, I mean, the fact that he is so bothered by the timing when it's really such a minor detail is, I think, telling to me.
Well, I think Aaron Rodgers just gets bothered by a lot. He just let the little things, like, get to him every once in a while.
Yes.
It's like, that tells you, because I do the same. We're getting older. As you get older, sometimes you just can't, your patience run a little bit thin. You know, like, no, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't know.
The
that
old guy on it. The lawn.
Exactly.
Right.
Get off my lawn. Yeah.
And yeah. Not all older people are like that, so I want to brush everybody with the same brush or whatnot. Paint everybody with the same brush. I don't want to do that. So
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We have a ton of thoughts in the text line. Aaron Rodgers, the Titans quarterback situation. We are right to your phones coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
I have no problem with Ian Rappaport. Schefter, I think they really get their jobs. When it comes to me, they don't know They really don't. They don't have inner source. They don't have people in my inner circle who are sources. I can promise you that. And anybody who would talk to them is not in my inner circle. It's that simple. Yeah. So I've had this planned on the books for 4 months for the same time. And when someone like that goes on and says something that's not true, it creates a story that's and it just keeps on going and going and going. It's if it's legitimate, it can stand up to questioning. So question things and then think about them and contemplate them in your own time and try and figure out what seems most likely to be true based on your own intuition and feel and conglomeration of fact. But no one in my inner circle talks to those people. I don't talk to those people. I don't have their numbers. I've never met them. And listen, I'm doing a darkness retreat later this week. I'm excited about it. I didn't realize how much it would take off.
There you go. That was Aaron Rodgers yesterday on the Pat McAfee Show. And I just find it interesting. Somebody who loves to be in the headlines as much as Aaron Rodgers does. You don't contemplate retirement. You're in, you're out. You might leave, you might stay for the last 3 off seasons if you don't love to be the topic of conversation. So somebody who loves to be in the media that much obviously detests the media that much.
Yeah. The last, what? And I don't know if he's contemplating retirement or not, but, you know, the last 2.5 seasons, it's been this question mark, you know, at the end of the season with Aaron Rodgers. And I'm sure Green Bay is at a point where they're just exhausted by it.
I don't blame them if they are.
I think the players are probably exhausted by it, and especially young players and those guys at the in the receiver room, because they're like, you know, we would love to have Aaron Rodgers as our quarterback, but we don't know if he will be, you know, and that uncertainty. It's demoralizing sometimes, I think, because it's like, here we go again. You know, Aaron Rodgers, the Aaron Rodgers saga. Here we go again as the roar turns in Aaron's head. Is he going to retire? Is he not? Does he want to leave and go to another team? Does he not? And I think the organization, they're done with it, you know. And if they can move him, I think they will, because I think I do think they have enough. They've seen enough in love that they believe he can be the quarterback for the future for them, and the future may start this upcoming season.
And they want to see what they have with Jordan Love.
Because he only has two years left on his contract.
They have a decision to make. Do they want to extend him? Do they want to hold on to him? I don't think they want to sign him to a long-term, big-time contract if he's never even, you know, started in a game.
Yeah, that's a tough part of the equation. So, just a couple of things, right? Let's imagine you are just sitting there and you're Aaron Rodgers. From the time the season ended, their season ended after they lost to the Lions. That was early January.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So for basically all of January and then on, we're halfway through February, you have had a lot of people filling a lot of time talking about football. And when you're talking about football, a lot of people are talking about Aaron Rodgers because – he is, especially, it's turned up even more since Brady has taken himself out of the game for now. So you're sitting there. You haven't done anything, right? Nothing has happened. He hasn't talked to the Packers. They haven't really had much discussion. You're just waiting, and nothing is going to happen for a long time. I can see how if it bothers him, right? He's. I guess maybe this is part of the reason why he wants to shut himself away from everything is you can't. Possibly you can't physically see what's happening. Like, it's coming your way. Hey, they said this about you over here. Rappaport said this over here. And nothing is happening. Like, nothing will be resolved for a while. That's got to be pretty frustrating. So I get that part. So let's try to separate. When he says, think about it, contemplate it, what were the words he used? You know,
Conglomeration of fact.
Okay, here are the facts. And I saw ESPN trying to sift through this morning. Here's his contract. If he's guaranteed over $58 million, I think.
Yes.
If he plays for the Packers, mm-hmm. $58 million. That's a ton. Okay, so that's problematic because of Jordan Love and all that stuff. Plus just the drain on your emotions. This has been going on for 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
Every year. Is Aaron coming back? He's not happy. He didn't like this.
You have to go through the lengthy meetings.
We got Jordan Love. What do we do? So this is a repeat, right? This is like Groundhog Day. It's got to be weighing on him. So if traded before June 1st, $40 million of dead cap money hits the Packers right there. That's a huge factor. If it's after June 1st that they trade him, $15.8 million in 2023, $24.5 million in 2024. So they spread the dead money out over two teams. That's if they trade him after June 1st. If they release him, which I cannot imagine they do this, it's $99.8 million against the cap. I mean, come on, that's like half of your team. Like, come on, that's half of your cap space. And if he retires, it's that's at any time. And then if he retires, $40.3 million. Of dead money in 2023. So it's the same if you trade him before June 1st as if he retires. So it's just complicated. So there's a lot. Now, what ESPN was centering in on is you have the Jets and the Raiders who, by all accounts, they would love to play that game. They'd love to get into the game with Rodgers. But how do you make the numbers work, right? The Jets probably have the cap space to do it. They've got a younger team. They've got assets. They've been building for a while. They don't have a lot of big contracts with veterans, so that seems like a fit. And then of course you got Davante Adams, you've got the Raiders who are always wheeling and dealing, so that looks like a possibility too. But how do you make these numbers work? Like, it's complicated from all sides. It's complicated for the Packers and the team making the deal, so it's gonna take a while to sort out.
Well, he would have to redo the deal, not saying that he would take less money, because I don't think, you know, can he do it? Yeah, take a pay cut, but I mean, you're still a top three or four, your top five quarterback still in this league. And giving back money, I don't think he's in the business of giving back any money. You restructure the contract, but that, which means you're going to have to push years out. And any team that does get Aaron Rodgers, you got to almost anticipate. If you say, it, you know, say you have to push it out two extra years, which makes it, I think, end up being a five-year deal, mm-hmm. close to it. Well, you got to hope and pray that Aaron plays those 5 years. Because if you rework this deal and Aaron says after the second year and you ain't won a Super Bowl in, and Aaron says, you know what, I'm done. Now you're on the hook for all this money. So if you're doing this deal and you restructure, you got, and I heard what Coach Shoup said, he's right. Like, you got to know that he's playing more than two seasons.
Yeah, you cannot put in that investment
exactly.
and only get a year out of Aaron Absolutely. Rodgers. That's you a good way
know,
to get fired.
You got
to
know he's playing, especially if I restructure the contract and push some of the money out like he wants in order to be on the team, then I got to know, like, you got to be playing more than 1 or 2 years. You have to, mm-hmm. if you're physically able to.
Chris Mason will join us coming up next. It's Caroline Willie DeMays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
It's time!
The shot broken up in front, and what a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and a backhand stop by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Eklund by Mason.
And goal number 3, Chris Mason.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chris Mason joins us now. C-Mace, we appreciate you for joining us. So I talked to Elliot Friedman a couple weeks ago, and we asked him, hey, if you were David Poyle, what would you do at the trade deadline? And Elliot Friedman said, hey, between the break and the trade deadline, let the team tell you what you should do. And David Poyle went on Robbie and Rex Road yesterday, said not buyers, but not sellers quite at this point. What do you think the team has shown David Poyle so far since the break, and what does the team need to do in the remaining 8 games from now until the trade deadline?
Well, I think so far that definitely, you know, they haven't showed that this team should be buyers. You know, I think regardless of the 8 games, you know, I personally don't think this team's in a buying position unless you can, you know, get a piece that's, you know, something lateral in a sense that could either get you younger or, you know, fill another void or another need that you have, if you can, you know, fill somebody else's in a move like that. But, you know, what they need to do, obviously you're missing Phil Forsberg right now. You're missing Alex Carey, a couple really key players. So if this team wants to, you know, get in that position where, you know, you're trying to tell your management that, hey, you know, give us a shot. This group, we, you know, you hear the guys say they believe in this group. And I think this year, if anybody gets in the West, I think, you know, you have a legitimate chance. I'm not saying, you know, the odds are spectacular or anything, but I just don't think Colorado's the same, and I don't think there's as many, you know, powerhouse teams in the West. So I think anybody that just gets in has a chance. So if I'm a player, that's what I'm doing. I'm putting in a position where I say, hey, we're fighting for playoffs. We're there. We want this. And on the flip side of that, if guys don't step out, you're missing those two players that I mentioned. If other guys don't step up and, you know, make plays and be that game changer, and I'm talking about some of the offensive guys, you know, Mecole Graham, I think he's got another level to his game where he can step up and contribute a little more offensively, change the, you know, make a play when the team needs to. Matt Duchesne's been awesome for a part of it, but he's, you know, kind of back and forth. The consistency hasn't quite been there for the top group, and now you're getting a chance to see Phil Tomasino, which I'm sure we're all happy about. But these next 8 games, I mean, you're starting tomorrow night with the best team in the league. So if they're not ready, what's the saying? If you mess around, you won't be around. I think it's a little different terminology, but you know what I mean. So if you mess around tomorrow, that game could be over early. So they've got to they've got to come, and some of their big guys have to be the big difference makers for them.
Chris Mason is with us, and David Poile mentioned again in his sit down with Robbie and Rex Road. So a lot of guys aren't having career years as they did last year, and it's true. Philip Forsberg, Matt Duchesne, they had big years last year. Not seeing that same production this season, but I've kind of been going through a mental dilemma with myself of one: how can you expect guys to have career years every single year? You know, it's a career year for a reason. But also, I think to myself, well, those guys are making a whole lot of money. So you want your big paid guys and your big men to be able to produce in a big way. So this is kind of my mental dilemma. Your thoughts on it?
Well, my thoughts are exactly that. If you're getting paid that money to produce at that level, and let's say you're not getting 43 goals, well, you know what? You need 30-something. You know, you need close to 40. I think Philip Forsberg has the talent to be a 40-goal scorer every single year in this league. Matt Duchesne showed that he could produce at that level. While, you know, they might not reach that total or the career year totals, you got to be close to it. And it's the consistency year in and year out is why you pay somebody a long-term contract at a high dollar amount, is because you expect that level of production, you know, especially through the, you know, the prime of their career. And when you have that many players have career years, and then the following year, you know, you give essentially give them the same setup. They had the same guys that were on the power play. They had the same power play structure. So they were given the opportunity at the beginning of the year, you know, to get off to that kind of continue where they left off. And that wasn't the case. And, you know, everybody knows it's not automatic. And, you know, at the end of the day, those guys are going to either get you to the promised land in the playoffs, or, you know, they're going to be a big reason why, you know, you don't offensively. You're talking about right now four losses that should be wins. That's 8 points, whatever the difference is. It's only four wins, and those guys are the ones that, you know, are on the power play all the time, and that's the difference in hockey games. Those one or two goal hockey games, that power play and that extra production from your top players gets you four or five higher spots in the standings, and that hasn't been the case this year.
Now, Chris, how do you think Tomasino did in his first game up? Because they're gonna need him moving forward, obviously, because Forsberg is out. But how do you think he did in his first game, and what does he need to do better moving forward?
You know what? I think he was okay. I really like him as a player. I think he's one of those players that can make things happen on his own. He's very skilled. I think, you know, everybody handles those call-up situations differently. You're a little nervous and maybe a little tentative. And he said it after the first period, like, oh, it's a lot faster. And it takes you a minute, you know, sometimes to adjust to that. But, you know, I think moving forward, he's going to be just fine. He's already proven that he can, you know, score at this level as a rookie. And, you know, the thing with younger players is probably their consistency and, you know, some of their work on the defensive side of things. And you have to be careful with a highly skilled player that you don't want to get them playing on the third and fourth line and limiting their minutes and not putting them on the power play and special teams. But now he's, you know, he's in a good place. He started racking up the points in Milwaukee. He's ready to play here. So I thought there was some really good good moments in the game where you could see that flash. You could see his, you know, his instincts. And then I also saw a little bit of hesitation, which is, you know, a young player with a little bit of nerves coming back up to the NHL. But I think he'll be just fine. And like you said, though, D-Mace, if they're going to get into the playoffs or if they're going to, you know, start moving in that direction, he's going to be a big player for them. You know, he's going to get a big top six opportunity. He'll be on that second unit on the power play. So he's where he should be getting the, you know, the skilled chances that, you know, that suits his playing type.
Talking to Chris Mason. Mace, you look at the test tomorrow night. Boston Bruins, 2.11 goals against per game. That is number one in the league by almost a half of a goal. That's a lot. And they are number two in goals for per game, 3.7, just behind the Edmonton Oilers. So they do everything well. They've lost only 8 games in regulation time. So you talk about the ultimate test to try to put yourself out there for all the things you're saying. Like you're on notice right now. You've got 8 games to make an impression on what the season's going to look like on the other side. Still a long way to go, but, man, you're testing yourself against the best.
Yeah, this is, you know, if you want to see what you're made of, you know, this is the team. It's going to be, there's no margin for error. You know, UC Saros, in my opinion, is their best player, him and Roman Josi. You need UC Saros to put in an unbelievable performance, which he's more than capable of doing, winning games by himself. But you can't afford any of those costly turnovers or those puck management decisions where you're maybe trying to, you know, make a 50-50 play to turn something into offense and it goes back the other way and you're giving up an odd man rush. This is a team that, when you're talking about the Boston Bruins, they have no weakness. They're healthy. They've got a lot of veteran high-end players that are both, you know, excellent defensively and offensively. You have one of the best, what do they call it, the perfection line. It's got everything on that line. You know, Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak, it's arguably the best line in hockey. You've got a team that defends well. You have good defensemen on it, offensive defensemen, but a team that can score goals, that is committed to defense, and then you got a goalie who is, you know, the consensus Vezina pick because he's the recipient of playing behind such a solid team. But for the Predators, there has to be a little bit of that, I don't want to say fear factor, but just that recognition that, you know, every single play is the biggest play of the game, and that's a little cliche, but when you're playing a team like that, there is no margin for error. And then you're going to have to, you know, hope that, you know, your special teams, if you get a penalty, your power play's got to make a difference. You know, last year, it was such a impactful weapon for them, and it made the difference in so many hockey games, those 2-1 or whatever, those, you know, games that are tied, and your power play comes in, they get you a big goal. That's how you beat some of those teams. So I think you're going to have one of the best efforts of the season from the Preds tomorrow in order to beat the Bruins.
No question. I asked myself, too, I was looking at the salary structure of the Bruins, and I asked myself, you know, why are they able to dominate? Because they were not, you know, the favorite like this before the season. But one of the things that's really worked in their favor, they got Patrice Bergeron to come back. He looked like he might retire, and he agreed to a one-year, $2.5 million contract. So he's playing, you know, about three times
Jump
that
change.
Value. Yeah, yeah, he's playing about three times that value. He's still a tremendous player at 37. And then David Krejci came back over from Czechia or the Czech Republic. He's playing for $1 million. So that's two players who are playing really, really well for them at $3.5 million. That is how you work. That's how you sort of overachieve a little bit. And they know they've got some big decisions to come after the season. So this is going to be really interesting to watch them from here on out, see if they can take advantage of what they've put together.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a situation where your team like Boston, I mean, how many years have they been a top team in the league where guys will go there and they'll take less money because they have a chance to win a Stanley Cup? So, you know, guys aren't going to go, you know, to other teams and you know, sign those same kind of deals. And obviously Bergeron and Krejci have the ties to Boston, but they come back, they're like, you know what, look at this team. Like if I come back and we can fill out, you know, the void a little bit more in certain areas, defense or goaltending or whatever the case may be, or some depth forwards, I'm going to take less and I got a chance to win a Stanley Cup. So, you know, that's just a lot of years of success and building the team, you know, the right way to get to this point where they have that option. So, you know, I mean, they're the favorite to win, you know, the Stanley Cup. The East is stacked with powerhouses. So they're hopefully going to beat each other up, but I mean, this is a team with virtually no weakness. I mean, it's the Preds are going to have to bring. They're going to have their best effort of the season and really, you know, focus on the defensive side of things. But you can't just sit back and try to defend these guys because they'll just buzz around the offensive zone. They're just too good. So I think you know, that counterattack mentality is going to have to be something the Preds really use. Try to you know, have success in using against the Bruins.
Chris Mason, we appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat with you next week. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
All right, thanks, C-Mace. Speaking of the Predators, Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue starting at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal, plus you can get autographs and pictures. Preds player guests tonight will be Juuso Parsonen and Tommy Novak. Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports. Hey, the Preds have a home game tomorrow night, and it's going to be a tough one hosting the Boston Bruins. But it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in a game tomorrow night, then you will win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate in Pick to Click tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. with Robbie and Rex Road. So A.J. Brown's Twitter fingers have been Twitter fingering again.
He loves the Twitter.
He loves Twitter. I feel like sometimes somebody might need to just change the password and not tell him.
Yeah.
But out of all of A.J. Brown's tweets that have just made my eyes roll into the back of my head, this time, I think I actually agree with him. So Juju Smith-Schuster took to Twitter yesterday, of course, Valentine's Day, and he posted one of those like Valentine's like card memes where it says to and from, and it says, "I'll always hold you when it matters most," which is like totally a joke, you know, kind of a play on the final holding call of the Super Bowl, decided the Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs. And A.J. Brown responded to Juju Smith-Schuster, said, "First off, congratulations. Y'all deserve it. This is lame. You was on the way out of the league before Mahomes resurrected your career on your one-year deal, TikTok boy. He admitted that he grabbed you, but don't act like you're all that or ever was. But congratulations again." Shout out to A.J. Brown putting Juju Smith-Schuster in a body bag, honestly, when he deserves it.
I mean,
it's hilarious, honestly.
It's funny, and yeah. I mean, I don't fault AJ for doing it, but I'm like Claude and Ray when they were in jail in life. It's like, man, let me speak for myself, man. Like, yeah, you know, you ain't got to talk for me when it comes to my cornbread. If I want to get that man my cornbread, let me give him. You don't have to fight my battles. To this is another one. You ain't got to fight. It's great that you did it. I'm glad that you did it. But you don't have to fight my battles, man. It is what it is. Here's the part that may have been a little bit wrong, factually wrong. He wasn't getting ready to be ran out of the league. He wasn't almost out of the league. This is a guy that in 2021 only played 5 games. He was injured. His worst season was in 2019. You know who else was injured that year and only played 5 games? Ben Roethlisberger. So that whole quarterback carousel they were going through that year, his numbers were horrible. But the 2 years prior to that, and then once Ben came back, his numbers were much better. And then in 21, he gets hurt. Now he's a different wide receiver. I get that. But I'm not going to prescribe that, he resurrected his career. The guy just needed to get injured. I mean, he needed to get healthy. And he never was a elite receiver. He was always a good receiver. And he was a good receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. His numbers bared out. He's on average throughout his career, he averages around 800-900 yards per season. And that's what he got this year, 900 and some yards. But he was critical in what they were doing. That's the only thing. I'm like, everything else you said, you know, hey, you helping out your boy, that's good. I get it. You congratulate him, that's great. I get it. But I'm all about facts, too. I don't think he was getting ready to get ran out of the league. He was injured in 21, and he was coming back. Did nobody really want to touch him?
I didn't think that there was just a huge market for him.
Yeah, there wasn't a huge – there are a lot of guys there are not a huge market for when you – coming off an ACL.
Yeah, there's a difference between your market value is dropped and you are, quote, getting run out of the league.
His market value has
dropped. So it's an exaggeration, which people tend to do sometimes on sports social media.
AJ tends to do it a bit.
Yeah, but I don't blame AJ for taking up for it.
Yeah, he's trying to take up for his
team. I don't blame him for that. But it was funny.
It's always for our definition, for our entertainment. And so we always giggle when AJ decides to do this.
I want to know. Did he erased the
tweet? That was my first question. Is it still up there?
Let's do some
digging.
Is it
still there, or did he erase it?
I'll do our due diligence.
Because as you look for this, Caroline, I had a fun time watching, I guess it was Get Up. Herm Edwards has been on there. I just love listening to Herm. We're biased because...
Still there.
Okay. So
that's a little different.
Yeah. He meant this one.
But what does Herm always say? Don't press send. Don't press send. There's nothing to gain when you do this. Don't do it. But so sure enough, he's on there and he's talking about it. And so I don't know what it really proves, but we get some entertainment.
I mean, it's entertainment. And then AJ can, you know,
he can
AJ,
say, look, I mean, he probably want a little respect. Yeah. Bradbury's kind of like, hey, thanks for having my back.
Yeah, but I mean, AJ
probably been keeping James Bradbury up at night.
Sure.
And probably
I'm
will.
Sure, it will. It will haunt
life.
Him until they get back to the Super Bowl and win it. But even then, he still will be haunted by, man, that play more than likely cost us an opportunity to at least, you know, see if we can win the game moving forward. But I mean, hey, listen. AJ, when AJ got skins on the wall, he can say things like that because the kid got skins on the wall. The way he balled out this year, hey, he's an elite receiver.
You know when you can talk the talk?
Yeah.
When you walk the walk.
Absolutely.
And AJ walked that walk.
He walked that one. And he's still walking.
And AJ has a fair point.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Juju was not the captain of that ship of the Kansas City Chiefs being Super Bowl champions. Juju or not, I got a good feeling Kansas City probably would have been right back there. And that's no disrespect to Juju.
Oh, of course. They would
have
still
role.
Been there. Yeah.
It's just, quit your talking when you aren't walking the walk. And I think that's AJ's point. It's like, look, don't act like, you know, don't be out here talking and acting
well,
like
he
you're
did
all
kinda,
that.
He did kind of walk the walk. I mean... He played the role that Kansas City wanted him to play. He was their leading receiver throughout the year, and he ended up making big catches when they needed him to make big catches. So he did exactly what he was supposed to do.
A quick parting thing as we get out of here. The Milwaukee Admirals, this is just funny. They had a 15-round shootout the other day that they won. That was Saturday. And then today they just finished one of these school games where they let the kids come to the game. They play an afternoon game. They won in 12 rounds in the shootout. And the winning shootout guy, you know, once you get past a certain point, you're getting down on the roster. Our man Big Mac, Big Sexy, Michael McCarron, scores the winning goal in the shootout. Not exactly the guy you would expect to score a shootout goal.
All right, Big Sexy. All
there
right.
We go.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company's up next.
Peace.